to order and turn on the microphone. The Police, Judicial, and Legal Committee meeting for Monday, February the 5th. Thank you all for hanging in there with us. We just had important training for council and downstairs, and we were a few minutes late getting going with that. The first item on this agenda is approval of the minutes from our January 2nd meeting. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Any discussion? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it. It's unanimous. Item number two is public comments. Anyone here from the public who wishes to comment? Seeing none, we will move on to item three, which would be police matters, no agenda items. Item four, judicial matters, employee years of recognition. All right, years of service recognition. You have to participate.
Good afternoon. It's my pleasure today to recognize Nancy Toussaint for 15 years of service to the town. Nancy has one of the most vital roles in the municipal court, and that is the balancing. She does that daily. She takes all the money, the tickets, the receipts, and makes sure that everything balances back to the totals that are in the court software. She's very meticulous in doing so, making sure that everything obviously has to balance to the penny. She takes all the dispositions and checks those before they go to the highway department, ensuring that they're accurate, that they match what's in the computer, and they match what's on the court docket. Very tedious, however, again, it's very important that everything in our department has to match and be exact. So. Nancy, again, does an excellent job for us. We hope that she'll be here another 15 years. I won't be, but you might be. And again, thank you for everything that you do for us and for your dedication.
That would be a conflict of interest.
Thank you very much.
All right, moving on to item number five, legal matters, employee years of service recognition. Yes.
It is my privilege to recognize Trish Huey for 25 years of service to the town of Mount Pleasant. Trish started with the town in 1993, and it's amazing how much her job has evolved over the years and how she's met every challenge as it has evolved. When she started in 1993, she was the legal secretary for the town attorney, whose job was both town attorney and town solicitor at that time. Since the town has grown considerably, it has evolved from that, where she had both roles, performing both criminal and civil duties as the legal secretary. To when I came on board as the town solicitor, at that point she helped in training the legal secretary that worked for me, continued to help us in that role. It evolved again in 2010 when we brought on board contract attorneys, and it evolved even again when we moved into this new building and she took on responsibilities helping out front, greeting people, as well as doing the civil work contract attorneys that we have on board right now, Dave Pagliarini and Julia and Jim. Trish is a great employee. I can tell you her work is almost always flawless. Many times when I've been dealing with things, Trish does some stuff for me through the South Carolina Bar, and I think, of course, the South Carolina Bar often would call me and go, is something right wrong? I think something's wrong on your end, and I would chuckle with Trish and go, well, I told them, I think you guys need to check again because I know nothing's wrong on our end. And of course, every time, was right. I guess on a personal note, Trish is a fine person to work with. I always kid around with her and I say she has Grace Kelly cool. I say that because she's so reserved. That's just part of her nature. Oftentimes when we have a hurricane approaching, my advice to staff is to get their affairs in order, because I'm extremely concerned. And she always tells me, as the voice of reason, let's not worry about it just yet. I think everyone's going to be okay. So she's been a great employee. I'm proud to honor her with this 25-year pin.
Very much.
And
appreciate
you're welcome.
It.
Anybody else want to receive a check today?
Yeah, I'll take one.
All right, Gary, we have one for you. This moves us to item 5B, discussion of meeting attendance for appointed boards and commissions. And I believe this topic was taken up in the planning committee. And we sort of have a standard, is that right? And I don't know if we all know what came out of that committee, if y'all want to tell us, and then what we may do here today to make sure we have one standard that applies.
Sure. So we had the conversation of should we have this may be considered or could what's the word could be cause for
yes
removal and I thought that having a standard 75% as that standard where we don't have could be because then we would have haves and have nots. Some people, they say, oh, well, you know, I like old Joe there, so let's overlook his more than 75 or less than 75% attendance. But then someone else, they'd say, well, nope, 75%, he's got to go. So I thought we needed to have one standard for everyone, and that would be 75. And we would just change the wording of the ordinances, and this would be for everyone. And that was 75% both. Full-time or the regular scheduled meetings and special meetings.
Okay. I have a question. If you're new on a commission and you miss, you make the first two meetings and you miss the third, you're then at 66%. You're below 75. But if we wait till the end of the year, you could miss a whole bunch and then make them all up at the end. So at what point does the 75 requirement stick?
It was going to be a year.
Okay.
The ordinance is currently written in the calendar year, January 1 through December 31, and I believe it was the planning committee's wish that that remain.
Yeah. The other option would be to move to a rolling 12.
Yeah. Yeah. I personally like the rolling 12 because you could just say, well, I'll miss three in a row and then make sure I make or whatever, however the math works, you know, miss two in a row and then make 10 or whatever and you're okay when the point is to get you – absences should be the exception, not the rule. So y'all's committee, it's not a rolling, it's just at the end of the year they see if you're
rolling, but yeah, I think it'd be fine to be rolling. I think the more important part is that we have a nice firm rule.
Right.
75%.
Right.
And of course, a time frame has to be associated with that, but I'm okay with that.
Okay. And as we've seen in Mount Pleasant with the more engaged citizenry now, if you don't want to come to the meetings, there are a lot of other people who would like the opportunity to be appointed and who would. So, Gary, do you have something to add on?
No, I'm okay with it. I'd like to see it in written form, though. I wasn't able to make the meeting planning, so I don't know what all is in it. But you're asking for a vote today from us for this?
I think what the coming out of planning committee was, we can write it up and bring it back to both committees or one committee as you see fit.
That's what I'm good with, yeah.
Good. That sounds good then. Anything else on that? If not, we will move on to item 5C, consideration of a no vaping ordinance. Yes.
We will turn that over to Ms. Copeland.
Hey.
So this came from Councilman Santos asking to add vaping to the non-smoking ordinance that we already have in place. There are several municipalities in the state that have already done this by just changing the definition of their no smoking ordinance. So that's what we've done here as an example for your consideration. It's adding the electronic smoking device in the definitions, and then it's adding electronic smoking device into the definition of smoking.
So the technicality of it is we are, what, just amending an existing ordinance, right? We're not having to write a new ordinance.
Correct.
Right. So we would make a recommendation that would go to council for first reading next Tuesday and then second reading?
Yes, sir. In fact, it's kind of ironic that there was a great article in the paper over the weekend about e-cigarettes and how we haven't had enough time to study them. Who knows whether they'll cause cancer or not. They're thinking also that they may, kids who start with the e-cigarettes may progress on to regular cigarettes. So it's really a very good article, I think, that came out at a very good time while we're looking at doing this ordinance.
Okay. So would you like to make a motion?
I will. I'll make a motion that we approve the amendment to the smoking and tobacco products section 138-03. Is that right? Is that good?
That should be fine.
I just want to make sure it's legally good.
We have a motion.
I'm not a lawyer.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Yes, sir.
I just have one question. This is smoking or vaping, what, under a certain age?
No, this is in public places. In other words, I don't know what the age is for you to buy one of those vapors. I don't know what you call them, artificial cigarettes. This is in public places.
So wherever cigarette smoking is prohibited, like restaurants
right.
and stores.
See, I think the smoking age is governed by state law, right? Yes. And so we can't preempt state law. So that's why, it doesn't mention that in there. This is just in public places. In other words, restaurants and things like that where people are.
I'm good.
Any other discussion? Any members of the public like to address this? All in favor of the motion as stated, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes unanimously. This moves us on to item 5D, proposed ordinance related to the registration of lobbyists.
Yes, Mayor, just as a refresher, this was before this committee last month, and the first reading was last month at council. You had asked that if there were any suggested changes or after consideration, given the short time frame to bring it back. I don't know if there are any questions we can answer or any proposed changes you had, but coming out of last month's committee, the first time you would have seen it again was at council. So again, if there's any proposed changes to the definitions, we'd be glad to entertain them at this point or have any discussion.
Gary, do you have any?
No, sir. I think it's a good ordinance. I'll make a motion that we approve the ordinance relating to the registration of lobbyists.
Do we need to, or is it already? It's past
no,
first
sir,
reading, right?
You don't. At this point, I think the committee just wanted it back because of the time frame involved, the short time between committee and council last time, to make certain that after first readings, you could discuss any proposed amendments that might take place at second and final reading. So there's no motion.
Second and final reading to be a council meeting on
yes,
Tuesday.
Yes, sir. That's
okay.
Correct.
I'm good.
That's
good.
Correct.
Good.
Comments?
I just have one question.
Go ahead. Yes, the floor is yours.
You want to let Kevin go ahead?
I didn't know if you were scratching your nose or if you had a comment. Yeah, if you'd like, we'll take public comment. Joe, if you'd like to go ahead.
How are we going to let people know if they need to register as a lobbyist? How do we do that?
Well, I'll turn that over to the administrative end of from a legal standpoint, like any other ordinance that we pass. I mean, there's nothing specific that we do from a notice perspective on the legal end. If you wish, we could provide that and put a public notice.
I guess what I would like to know is when I answer the phone, am I supposed to give notice? You're a lobbyist, or how does all that happen?
Well, the first thing, it's going to require everyone within the town to be aware of this, staff as well as the elected officials. Second, I think at least initially, or maybe forever, that anyone, if you feel that that's the case, it's going to simply require a check with legal. Town administrator, something to that effect. But I think the proposed way would be to say we have a lobbyist registration. I don't know, I'm not in a position to tell you whether you should or shouldn't register, but you should investigate that. I think that is generally the best way because it doesn't put you all in a position to answer that question out front.
All right, let's go to our public comment first. Yes, sir.
It kind of, Kevin Canane, 3032 River Vista Way. My comments kind of expand on what Councilman Bustos is saying. I think there's 9 elected officials. There's a bunch of people on boards and commissions. There's an executive office with quite a bit of power in the weak mayor system. You know, it ends up to be less than 100 people that are probably the targets of lobbyists. I would say probably less than 50 that are the frequent targets of lobbyists. Those are the people who should be regulated just from an ease of government standpoint. The 9 people who are being approached by the lobbyists should be the ones that have to report, I had contact with this individual. Don't even know if they're a lobbyist, but they're looking to influence our government. The people want to know that. Put it on the website. This councilman met with these 4 people. You know, and let's face it, most of it, today's day and age and what's going on in the town, it's going to be a developer. Could be a developer from out of the country nowadays, the way money flies around in real estate. And how is the lobbyist from South Africa going to know about registering here? You have to put the onus where it's easiest to actually have the effect you want. And with a smaller group of less than 50, it's a lot easier than thousands of lobbyists, theoretically worldwide. I like the spirit of it. I like the idea of better government and all that. I just think if you take a step back and which is the easier way to actually accomplish what you're trying to accomplish, put the onus on the people that are here, that are accountable to the people here, provide them with the information, and it gives people the information to make a decision whether this is the person they want representing them. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Will.
Yes, Gary.
I'd just like to address that, from the guy from South Africa, the lobbyist, if he's doing business in South Carolina, he better know the laws. And I think the onus is on him to know the laws of our municipality or the state if he's going to be doing business here. As you remember, we had some mailings that were done recently in the last election that were questionable, and we found it was, when they followed it back, it was to a lobbyist group. And so, my whole thing is, listen, lobbyists aren't bad people. I'm not trying to make them bad people. And the reason I brought this forward is that I think that if they're going to come in here and try and get our council members, elected officials, to vote on certain things, they need to register. I think if they're going to work here, they also might have to have a business license as well. Because why should they be able to come here and work and not pay for a business license like other businesses? That being said, my whole thing is I think that they need to. Columbia is the only other one in South Carolina that has one. And I think it's a good one, and I think that we need to do it too, just so that we are able to protect ourselves. I know when I wrote the no smoking ordinance, I was contacted by both sides, and I'd be honest with you, I didn't have a clue who was on what side sometimes. It'd be nice to know that they're registered with the town, and we know who they are when they're working. Very simple.
All right. I go back to my question, I think, originally, and this happens on committee day a lot of time. If you're walking out of here and going down to where we have food or something, somebody says, may I speak to you for a second on this item coming up on your committee, and they give you their name. Now, they may work for a chamber of commerce or a trade association or something like that. If they are a paid staff member and they are paid to be here to lobby for that, am I having contact with the lobbyist? And if I'm standing in the hall between here and the snack room, how do I know that? And what is, as an elected official, what is my obligation to ask them to identify who they represent? Are they paid or whatever? Likewise, what if it's somebody representing the arts community that wants to weigh in on, one of our decisions, like to fund an arts center or something? I mean, I'm just asking where we draw the line.
It's a good question, and I think the gentleman sort of, when he was speaking, the difference in what this ordinance requires, and as Mr. Bustos asked, what is your responsibility? The onus is on the lobbyist here to register, to be in conformity with our laws. It is not. The burden is not on you as council member to ask 20 questions and okay. Identify and make a decision. Again, as I said before, if you're asking me perhaps a way to handle it would be to advise them that we have such an ordinance and that it would be to their benefit to review it, make sure that they're appropriately registered.
So under our ordinance then, if someone is paid by a local trade association, their executive director or government affairs director, are they a lobbyist under our ordinance?
Yes. The exclusions, if you remember, are that if they receive no compensation, if they are only expressing a personal opinion or discussing a constituent matter, or if they're a full-time permanent employee of a government agency, a not-for-profit or private company, and is lobbying as a result of their employment. So if they are employed in that scenario, at least
then
under the definition we have, well, that's an exception. It does not include. If they are employed as part of that organization, the way that this came out last month and what Columbia has, that they are excluded from registration, which means it applies to professional lobbyists and not staff.
Who are only third-party representatives in that case?
Yes.
Okay. Any other question? Is there anything that we need to do on that, or no? It stands as coming up for second reading.
Right. If there are any amendments to the ordinance as written, it would be at final reading. And so this was intended to, if you all had any questions on the execution of it, just like today, we could be prepared to make those changes at the next council meeting.
Okay. All right. No further discussion on that. We will move on to item 5E, discussion of a federal lawsuit by the South Carolina Environmental Law Project opposing offshore drilling. We've all seen this in the media, and I asked this to be put on this agenda today. I'm aware of many municipalities on our coast that have joined this. We asked legal to tell us what the ramifications of doing that are, and this is done in light of the fact that we have an ordinance, a resolution, excuse me, by this council opposing offshore drilling. So, Mr. Pagliarini, if you would just tell us a little bit about this case, and I know you don't advise us how to vote, but advise us on the prudence of or possible ramifications of us joining a suit like that.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Some of you may recollect, I believe it was 2015, this council passed a resolution opposing offshore drilling and studies. That resolution was approved. The South Carolina Environmental Law Project has announced and come forward that is their intention that if offshore drilling, if the permitting is approved, they intend to file a lawsuit to attempt to block that, challenge it. That lawsuit has not been filed. The timeline is a little bit gray because the permitting requirement will take some time. I don't believe, at least our research and discussions, and we've canvassed many of the other municipalities, it's not imminent at this point, but we do believe that at some point it may be. Several, as the mayor mentioned, several municipalities and other government agencies have passed resolutions indicating their intent to join a lawsuit if and when it is brought. And this, for example, in the city of Charleston, their resolution was premised on the fact that they would not commit any public funds. And Mayor, as you saw, there is a legal agreement, a client, attorney-client agreement that would indicate that the Environmental Law Project would cover all costs and fees related to any such lawsuit. So I bring that up because that seems to be what other municipalities have considered, whether this will end up costing or not costing. And if you'd like to specify if you want to move forward with such a resolution, that's one of the considerations. A resolution at this time does not preempt or prevent if and when more information becomes available, either moving forward or not becoming part of it. That's right.
So this is not a point of no return on this?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Committee, any questions?
No, I think it's a good thing, and for us to join in on this. And what you were saying, that we wouldn't actually join the lawsuit because there is no lawsuit. We would just have a resolution that if and when such a lawsuit is filed, we would join in. And there would be an agreement with the attorneys that they would that SELP would cover the costs of all of it.
That is the proposal that they have put forward to municipalities who have shown interest at this time. I doubt that would change at all. They're separately funded. I mean, this is their mission. This is their, I believe, my opinion, the more municipalities, government entities they have, on their side, I believe it helps the case. Of course, it all depends, the timeline depends on the permitting, which could take some period of time.
May I ask that if we do a motion here, and I am looking for a motion, I guess it would be contingent upon, you never know a lawsuit until it gets filed, until all the writing is done. So what we pass today would be an intent. And then if that lawsuit does get filed, you would advise us, okay, here's what it says. If something has significantly changed, we may decide not to do that. I'm not saying that we wouldn't continue to oppose, but, I mean, lawsuits are an animal all to themselves, correct?
Yeah. Yes, sir. I think that's the best way to all do right. it. And, again, this would be a resolution expressing intent. And, again, if you'd like to specify that at least no town funds or public funds be put forward at this time, that would be one consideration, at least, that we've seen throughout this process
right.
as municipalities are addressing it.
Okay. Move, yes.
I'll make a motion that we have a resolution, but specifically included in that is that we commit no public funds.
Right.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Did you want
to? Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I have to abstain due to business conflicts.
Okay. So we have three of us. Is there any discussion, any comments from the public? All in favor of the motion as stated, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes unanimously, so we have a resolution of that intent. That brings us to item six, which is to adjourn. Any other items to come before this committee? If not, we stand adjourned.